It's a blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 23, stanzas 1 through 4. The God who sits enthroned on high, and the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good, corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1 through 4 of Psalter 23. Scripture reading for this morning hour may be found in the 59th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrices' eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. And their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. And for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. The enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Christine Brunn with her family, whose brother-in-law passed away in this past week. Also, Dustin Grisnick was in the hospital this past week, but was not able to receive his treatment. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou open unto us what our iniquity and what our sin is, because we see so little and we have so little impression of who that we have sinned against, that Thou would give us in this morning eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what place that we have chosen in our father Adam, a place of rebellion, a place wherein we have lifted ourselves up against our Maker and Creator, who has made us very good. But we have corrupted ourselves so that there is nothing good to be found in us anymore. But we are all gone out of the way. We are all together unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And except that Thou hadst restrained us in this world, except that Thou dost put a fence about us, then all our heart would be made manifest in our life, that our hands and that our feet would carry out the wickedness that lies within our heart. Lord, we may acknowledge Thee, that Thou yet keepest us in an outward way. And yet, Lord, Thou knowest what our natural heart does consider of ourselves. Then we lift up ourselves with this blessing also, as if that we are better, and as if that we are holier than those who break out into an outward wickedness. Lord, it is Thy hand alone that makes a difference between us and them. That is Thy hand alone and that brings us in the way of Thy providence into Thy house of prayer also in this morning hour, because our heart does have no desire after Thee of ourselves, then it is not in us that we have longed, that we have desired to come unto this place, even from our youth to this moment. But it is that Thou givest us to be brought up in this way, that Thou bringest us by the way of Thy providence into a family which comes under the reading and preaching of Thy holy word. And therein we may receive the outward blessings for which we will have to give an account for that great eternity. And Lord, once again this day when Thou wilt go before us and when Thou wilt sustain us in our life to give us a health and strength that is necessary, and then Thy word will go forth in the midst of us. Thy institution, when Thou wilt permit it again this day, despite the vanity that lies within our hearts, and all that our wretched heart does seek after in this world, and then Thy word will be brought in the midst of us. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto Thee? And Thou knowest our hearts. Then there is no place to receive it. We rebel against it. Our form and our custom that makes us to speak words which with our lips which are according to Thy word, but our heart that is so far from Thee. All we need, Lord, not only this outward institution, but we so stand in need of Thy Holy Spirit. We stand in need of the power, of the divine power to be shed abroad in the midst of us as a congregation. And then there is nothing else that is able to give us what we need but a great miracle. Thou who art the wonder-working God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who hast created the world and who upholdest everything in it, but Thou who hast also made a way, who hast decreed the salvation of Thy church, Thou whose wisdom, whose love, is evident in the weeks that we have entered, wherein we may consider the coming of Thy only begotten Son into this world. O Thou who art almighty, we beseech Thee that Thou may come also to us and to our dear children. They will be but the words, the foolish words of man, a foolishness of preaching in the midst of man, but it is Thy institution, O Lord. It is the explanation, it is the proclamation of Thy holy word that has been inspired by Thee to be written by men in this world. And therefore we do hope in Thee. Therefore, our expectation is alone in Thee in this morning hour. When we lie dead in sins and in trespasses, and when we lie polluted in our own blood, cast out in the open field, in such a great wretchedness and misery brought upon ourselves because of our own deep fall and rebellion, Lord, we beseech Thee, whose arm is not short and that it cannot save, and whose ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, that Thou would hear us, Lord, from heaven, Thy dwelling place. We need a miracle to be worked amongst us. We need the power of the divine power to be felt, to be experienced. The raising of the dead, dead in sins and in trespasses. And Thou alone art able to perform it. Oh, Thou art willing still to do so even to the end of this world. Wherefore Thou sparest this world even to this moment. Lord, we beseech Thee not to leave us and our dear children to hear the outward word of God with our ears, and to increase day by day and week by week in our own accountability and our own responsibility for all the blessings bestowed upon us. But with all our responsibility, we cannot save ourselves. O Lord, come Thou, we beseech Thee. O take reasons out of Thyself to look upon young and old, children, parents and grandparents and unmarried alike. O that Thou would remember us in mercy in the days in which we live, wherein we hear so little, that Thy Spirit goes out as heretofore. And Lord, it is so true. We do not deserve it. Our hearts, they cleave to this world, and they cleave to all that is vain, carnal, and passing away. And we have no true desire after Thee. Oh, it is so true that we are as whited sepulchres. No one of us can put our hand into our own bosom and take it out clean. It shall be leprous, white as snow. Lord, it is from our side. It is so impossible when we lie as so dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, we beseech Thee, Lord, we beseech Thee for one word in this morning to be spoken out of heaven, Thy dwelling place, and that it may enter into the hearts of the unconverted, traveling to a great eternity, and so careless and so unconcerned,
And any moment it is possible and that we are a falling, even as a Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, into that wretched and that bottomless pit where hope can never come. O Lord, wilt thou bind the seriousness of life upon our souls, that we may no longer be able to go on without God in this world, and that thy own name may be glorified in the salvation of sinners. O, give that this one or that one in our midst in this day could not but to cry out, O, carry me out of the battle. Lord, remember us in mercy. Be with thy people. Thou knowest all that lies within them. O, grant them life again. They can give it to their own soul. There is so much that makes separation between thee and their soul. And they can bring themselves out of the way, but they cannot bring themselves into the way again. Oh, it is alone the work of that chief shepherd. We beseech thee then that thou would bring them again with weeping and with supplications, that thou may open also unto those who can see no opening, who can see no way to be reconciled unto their Maker, to their Creator. Oh, that thou would look upon them in all their distress, when the time that is so long, and Lord, they are often so discouraged, and they cannot see anything because of that prison house. Oh, for a little light, O Lord, for a little ray of the inshining of thy Holy Spirit in this day, to reveal thy only begotten Son unto a wretched, unto the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, thou sayest it is without money, it is without price. Oh, that it may be seen also by those who have no money, that by those who cannot pay. Oh, look upon them. Remember us, we beseech thee in mercy. Be with all that are not able to gather with us. Lord, remember them in their places, in their own homes where they may be. Oh, be also with those who mourn. Remember those who have lost a relative. Oh, give comfort and strength to all those that are sorrowful. And may thou cause it also to bring to thy footstool, Lord. Oh, that the preaching, oh, that the callings in this life may be sanctified unto us and our dear children. Wilt thou look upon all that are sick and afflicted? Be also with the young child. He was in the hospital. He was not able to receive that which the doctors had tried to do. Lord, remember him. Oh, thou canst heal him, Lord. Thou canst do it with means. Thou canst do it without means. Oh, look upon him and heal him in his body as thou alone can do. And wilt thou strengthen the parents in this trial. Remember all that are distressed and all that have no ability to come to thy house. When there is a desire as thy servant of old to dwell in thy courts, oh, remember them then in the place where they must be in this day, and grant them also a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Lord, go with us. Oh, help us. Help us to preach. Thou knowest our wretchedness. Lord, grant us thy Spirit from above. Oh, give us in mind, in body, and not to be distracted from everything that is able to distract. And wilt thou give in our heart a love for this people? Oh, give and the words in our mouth a matter to be in our heart, to dwell there, and that it may be an overflowing stream, Lord. That there may be one word that may be blessed and sanctified. That there may be fruit upon this labor in the midst of this, our flock, whereto thou hast sent us, oh, we ask it of thee, Lord, in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 205, stanzas 1, 2, and 11 through 13. O, wherefore hast thou cast us off? O God, our God of old, why art thou angry with thy sheep, the sheep of thy own fold, the sheep of thy own fold? We announce first that the last collection today is for our school. Also, there will be a male members meeting on Thursday, December 11 at 7:30 p.m. The consistory has set duos for nomination: Elder Mr. Garrett Van Heerden and Mr. John Moons. For Deacon, Mr. Rick Busicum and Mr. Hank Arnoldusen. Psalter 205, stanzas 1, 2, 11, 12, and 13. Thank you. Congregation, children, who are the evangelists. You know they are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have written particular books of the Bible. They are the secondary authors God has inspired them to write concerning the coming and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the evangelists. Sometimes Isaiah has been called the fifth evangelist. Why? Because his writing that contains so much also of the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there is something so very peculiar about his work in distinction from the others, and that is that Isaiah, he lived a long time before. Thus, it is a prophecy. And that prophecy has been for the comfort and for the instruction of God's church for many, many years, because that people have waited. We heard that last week, 4,000 years. The church of the Old Testament has waited for the revelation of that Messiah. There are also those among us that do wait. That do wait for the revelation of that Messiah in a personal way. Congregation, we wish to consider with you out of the portion that we have read together, Isaiah 59, the 16th verse, Isaiah 59, verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So far the words of our text. A declaration of the salvation of Zion. First, a declaration of the necessity of this salvation. Second, a declaration of the decree of this salvation. A declaration of the salvation of Zion. First, a declaration of its necessity. Second, a declaration of its decree. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Congregation, did we ever wonder? Were we ever struck with surprise, struck with amazement? Sometimes things happen in this world so that man, he has to stand in awe, that he is struck with amazement at the things that he hears, at the things that he sees. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Who is that that Isaiah is here speaking of? Who is it here that is wondering? That is not a man, but this is God. Is that possible? Is that possible that God would wonder? Is it possible that God himself would be struck with amazement? That there was something that was a surprise unto God in this world? No, that is not possible. That is impossible because everything that happens in this world is known unto God. Everything that happens in this world is decreed, is coming about because of his own thought, because of his own word. Say, children, minister, you must now be preaching your own word because it says it here right in the Bible. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Has to be. And yet it is not so. Then we need to understand something. And we need to understand how that God's word has been written in some of its portions and what a statement like this in the word of God means. We say that actually with a big word, children, it is called an anthropomorphism. But that big word, that doesn't mean something so very difficult. No, it means something simple. It means that we ascribe unto God something that actually belongs in a literal way unto man. So, when we ascribe to God a face, well, God is a spirit. Not a man like you and I. He has no face. And yet, in God's word, we read of his face and his hands and his feet. These are all what we call by that word anthropomorphisms. And so that is also here in our text again. That it says that he wondered, to wonder. That is something that belongs unto man, but it is not something that belongs unto God. And yet the Lord is using these expressions that he may teach us because we are so ignorant and because we are so weak of understanding, that the Lord is explaining, revealing something of himself to that ignorant man in this world. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Thus, God, he reveals himself as wondering, as marveling. Marveling, wondering at what? That there is no man. That there is no intercessor. That there is no savior. That there is no deliverer. For whom? Who is it that needs to be saved? Who is it that needs to be delivered? Well, in order to understand this, then we need to back up from these words of our text. Then we read in the first two verses, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Who is speaking? It is Isaiah. It is Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, and Isaiah has received these words out of the mouth of the Lord. And then we must see how that this chapter in Isaiah, chapter 59, is so very closely connected to the former, to the previous chapter, chapter 58. And what do we read there? We read, cry aloud. Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching unto God. That is the people. Isaiah must speak to them. They are not the people of the world. No, they are people of the church. They are people who bring sacrifices. They are people who come up to the house of God. There are people who have an outward, they have an external religion. The Lord says, they are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. Why? Because they pretend to take delight in serving of me, but their heart, that is so far from me. And then those people, those same people, complain. What do they say? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? That is the people. They are complaining to God. Say we fast, we don't eat. And God does not hear us. God does not deliver us. He does not deliver us from all of our enemies. Then the Lord gives them an answer. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. So we read further, and the Lord speaks about them forsaking the poor, the hungry, the naked, the oppressed, and those that are under yoke. And then we come to the beginning of our chapter. And then what do we read there? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. No, the Lord says, by his servant, you may not cast the blame upon God, but that blame that lies in yourselves, because you refuse to turn away from your sin. Congregation, what is our accusation of the Lord? You say maybe we read his word. We bow our knees. We fold our hands. We come to God's house. And we are still not converted. And the Lord still does not save us. We fast. Or what does the Lord say? It's not our word. No, what is the word of the Lord? You shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. No, the Lord says, I am not to blame. But the Lord places that blame upon us. And very faithfully, Isaiah the prophet, more faithfully than us, very faithfully, Isaiah the prophet lays out the sin of the people as the Lord commanded him. As that first thing that is necessary for the conviction of that sin. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered diverseness. What does he speak about? He speaks about your hands, your fingers, your lips, your mouth, your whole being. There is no part, he says, of your whole being that is not involved in this sin. He speaks about blood. The blood of whom? Blood of the innocent. He speaks of iniquities. He speaks of lies. He speaks of perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. He says there is no justice, there is no truth. The innocent are condemned. The guilty, they are let go. That is the height of wickedness. Where is it? Not out there. It is not in the circles of the heathen. No, he says that is in the circles of my own people. That is especially what is drawing down the wrath of God, who is the defender, we read over and over in his word, the defender of the fatherless. They hatch cockatrice's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is cursed breaketh forth into a crushed breaketh forth into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. So he speaks about spiders, children. They are weaving a web. So the Lord says, so intricate are your plans of sinfulness. And that you are thinking, that you are meditating, that you are planning, that you are conniving. To walk, he says, in your wicked ways. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. Thus they run to it. They make haste to it. They do it with speed. They do not hesitate at all about walking, running headlong into the ways of sin. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Crooked paths. Deceitful. So they seek to hide. They hide it under the cover of religion. They hide it under the cover of piety and nice words before God and before man. So Isaiah, he accuses the children of Israel in the name of the Lord. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And so he says, that is the reason that the Lord will not deliver. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. No, his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your transgressions, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So we come to verse 9. And now in verse 9. Now there is a change. There is a change of voice of that servant of Jehovah. And he becomes not one who is speaking unto the children of Israel, but he is now one who comes among the children of Israel. He speaks as one that is in the midst of them, and he is speaking now unto God. What does he say? Therefore, judgment is far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Therefore, he says, is judgment far from us. What is that judgment far from us? That is now not the judgment of us in oppressing the poor, no, but it is the judgment of the enemies of the Lord. When they are oppressing the children of Israel, when the children of Israel are perhaps lying in bondage, and the Lord is not delivering the children of Israel out of the hand of all their enemies that are around about them. He says, therefore, this is the reason now that we are not delivered. Thus, we see something very important here portrayed. And what is that? It is that there is an acknowledgement that the people see, that the people own their own sin, that the people see why it is that they are lying in captivity, that the people realize why it is that the Lord's hand is not coming to save them. That is a great thing. When we may come to acknowledge our sin. That is not the work of Isaiah. No, that is the work of the Lord upon that faithful preaching of the sin of that people by the hand of His servant. Thus, that is the purpose of the Lord in laying out all the iniquity and the transgression of His own people. Is it all of that people that may recognize, that may acknowledge, that may submit? No. No. It is but a few. It is but a remnant to whom that word is sanctified so that it comes home to the heart, thou art the man. May it ever come home, congregation, to our own heart. Therefore, judgment is far from us. That no longer a man is casting that blame upon God, but that a man begins to point unto his own self. That is such a crucial point. That is a point that we cannot do without if we will be saved. It is the language of confession that we have brought ourselves into our state of death. Spiritual death, that we have brought ourselves into this condition where the Lord does not hear and where the Lord does not come to save. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places like dead men. We wait for the Lord. We wait for the Lord to return. We wait for the Lord to come. We wait for the Lord to save us out of the hand of the oppressor. But He does not come. No, it remains so dark. The Lord is hiding Himself. The Lord hides His countenance. He does not display His favor. We grope. We stumble. We are in darkness, everything that is in such utter confusion, that is not there among the heathen, no, that is within the circles of the church of the Lord. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment turned away backward, justice stands afar off, truth fallen in the street, equity cannot enter, yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Congregation, what a wonder. What a wonder when the Lord does not have to say it anymore. Did that ever take place in your life? That the Lord did not have to say it anymore. But when it came as a confession of guilt out of your own heart, this is now the first work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Do we know the beginning? Do we know the beginning, the very beginning of the work of the Spirit of the Lord in our life? By nature, it is not so. No, by nature, we can read, congregation, we can read to you out of the Word of God every one of the curses that are written in that Word of God, and we are always pointing our finger to our neighbor. And it never goes the other way. But what is the working of that Holy Spirit? That is to make a change. That is to work a great turning point in the heart, in the life of a man. What a difference. What a difference. A difference between night and day. When a person begins to acknowledge the justice of God. When a person begins to say, it is true. The Lord does not come. And the Lord does not save. And I have been going to church for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And I'm still unconverted. And it is not the fault of the Lord. But it is my own fault. What a humility then fills our soul. What a reproaching of ourself because of our own sin. Then we have a broken and a contrite heart and our finger that is not pointing up to heaven anymore. Do we know, congregation, the first working of that Holy Spirit of the Lord? And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Now we come to another part. It is the next part. What does it say? It says he saw. Who saw? God saw. What did he see? He saw the iniquity. He saw the transgression. He saw the oppression of the poor. He saw the deceit. He saw everything. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Then he also saw something else. Then he saw repentance. And then he heard a confession. And he saw the fruit of the working of his own Holy Spirit. That finger that was not pointed up to heaven against God anymore. God saw it. Oh, when God saw that a king of Nineveh had put on sackcloth and ashes, and he sat with all his people, and even congregation in an outward way, those awful and wretched judgments of the Lord, they were diverted. How much more? God may see, may that the bowels of that greater Joseph, that they are not moved. When God sees his own people, his own elect, what do we read of them in Egypt? Their cry. Their cry that came up before God, and God heard it. What did God say unto Moses? He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their bondage. I know, he says, what the sorrows of my people are. Is that true also of us? Is there a God sitting in heaven that knows the sorrow of your heart, that hears the cry that comes up unto heaven because of your sin? What did the Lord do for his people? Well, then he sent Moses to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. And what do we read here? He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Thus the Lord looked. He looked among the people from one person to the next person. And he says, he saw no man. He found no one. How is that? Was there no one? Was there no one that did not follow anymore after those ways of wickedness? Was there no Job who feared God and eschewed evil amongst all the people of the land? Was there no Lot among them? Was there not one that vexed his righteous soul day by day? No, that is not true. Then there were some, by the Spirit of the Lord, they had not defiled their garments. But, he says, they are so weak. What does he say? He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The one that wanted to go against the stream, he made himself a prey for the oppression of all the wicked. Oh, there was one here, there was one there was one, but they were so weak. They were so weak that they could not stand against that great evil that had come against in the midst of my people. The planting of the Lord that was so frail. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. He could not find one to deliver his people. He looked. There was no leader among that people. There was no mighty man. There was no one that could overcome that wretchedness. How is that, people of the Lord? Oh, what is the strength of the new man in comparison to the old man? What is it? Or is it not? Is it not as if that old man, he runs completely over that new man? Is there no desire? Is there no longing that would be different? Oh, yes. By the grace of God, yes. Somewhere. Here, there, yes. But, oh, the strength. The strength of evil, the strength of corruption, the strength of that wretched fall that overcomes. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. What does he speak of? The utter helplessness, the utter weakness of his own people to deliver themselves from that state and condition that they had brought themselves in. Speaks of the insufficiency of their wisdom. They cannot make a plan. The insufficiency of zeal to move themselves. The insufficiency of their own strength to bring anything to pass. There is no one qualified to interpose. There is no one qualified to effect a true reformation. To save that nation. Congregation, where are now the people? Where are now the people that stand in a holy amazement because they can find no one to deliver you? Are there such people here? Are there such people that say with God's servant, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Is it so dark that you cannot see such a person, that you cannot see such a deliverance? Do you see yourself as so weak and without strength against that great company of sin that comes against you, that you are not able to overcome the least of the temptations that are brought by the prince of darkness in your heart? Oh, have you exhausted every possibility? Do you so mourn? Oh, the Lord has seen it. Oh, the Lord also sees it, and the Lord also knows it. Knows what? He knows where you have placed yourself with your own hands in the midst of that wretched enemy. There was a woman. She cried to Joram. When that city was under the siege, she said, "Help my Lord, O King." What did the king say, children? What did the king say? He said, "Woman, if the Lord doesn't help thee, how shall I help thee?" And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Oh, the Lord has seen it. The Lord has not only seen it as it happened, the Lord has not only seen it in the time. Congregation, the Lord has seen it already in eternity. Has seen it already before it happened. Just as Isaiah is prophesying about something future. And thus the Lord, already in eternity, he has seen it. That pit of sin, in which man would plunge himself by his deep fall in Adam, would be such a pit that no one would be able to deliver themselves out of. And what did the Lord therefore do? We hope to consider that after we sing Psalter 188, 1 through 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray, O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of 188. Secondly, a declaration of the decree of this salvation. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Congregation, when the Lord could find no man, then what did the Lord do? Then the Lord said, I will do it myself. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. Who can fathom the love of God for his people? Oh, that love of God that is lying, congregation, as a rock. It is lying as a stone, a great stone at the foundation of the salvation of his church. It is not just miserable ones. It is not just those who need mercy, but it is those who had sinned so awfully against him. It is those who need grace. And for this, a love is necessary that is able to come over the greatest of offenses. And what love is that love that can overcome the greatest of offenses? Oh, there are many here that know it. They are the parents, the mothers, and the fathers. Do you understand that, young people? You may sin against your father and your mother, but you cannot take away the love that is in their heart for you. Thus, that love of God for his church had to be the love of a relation. It had to be the love of a father for his children, in order to overcome all their transgression. It was the love of God already from eternity which has moved him before that fall ever even took place, moved him to even look, to even search for a way, and to wonder, already in the stillness of peace, that there was no man, that there was no intercessor. But he needed more than love. He also needed power. There is sufficient love in man for himself, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Thus, man loves himself, but what does he lack? He lacks the power. Well, if only he had the power, then he would save himself, but so God would not receive the glory. Oh, God does not save man out of pity, because that he has fallen, no. He is not moved by anything outside of himself. No, he is moved from within himself. And then he is seeking there in his own glory. And that is what is so significant here about the order of this declaration that the Lord is making by the mouth of his servant Isaiah. What does the Lord say first? What does the Lord say very clearly? First, the Lord says very clearly, he declares it unto man. He says that he could see, he could find no man. And he could find no intercessor. And after that this is declared, then God says he will come himself for the salvation of his church. And this is congregation, the way it goes in the life of that people. First, that lesson, that most necessary lesson. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, it is declared in the life of the people, of his people, about their flesh, their ability. Was it ever declared, congregation, in your life? Necessary. Why? Because that is now the people who need a Savior to be revealed. Because that is the people who have no might and no power against that great enemy that is coming against him. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. Here is power for that weak people. Here is power where in that arm of the Lord will send his only begotten Son in the flesh. He will send him in the power of his Godhead to save his people. And he will show forth his power over the enemies of sin, of Satan, of death, of hell itself. When he will bruise that head of the prince of the power of the air. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Where could the Lord find truth and righteousness among his people? No, his people had to confess it himself, that the truth that is fallen in the street, equity cannot enter, yea, truth, they said, that faileth. And therefore, the Lord's own righteous cause is the motivation from the side of God. His eternal purpose concerning his own church for his own glory and his own covenant and his own good pleasure and his own righteousness, that is sustaining him. He is finding reasons in himself, sustaining him not only in the decree, but sustaining him that he may also complete the decree, that he may execute that decree. Sustaining the Father to permit his only begotten Son to leave his glory, authority, majesty, and to come as if he was a sinner in this world. To sustain the Father when his only begotten Son will cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To sustain the Father that he may refrain from answering his only begotten Son. My righteousness, my righteous cause, the end, the purpose of my decree, that did sustain me. Congregation, what does the Lord say? He says here two things. First, he says, I saw no man. Did you ever learn this? Did you ever see it for yourself as the Lord sees it? Did that way that the Lord sees it ever become reality? That there is no man that there is no strength, that there is no righteousness to save yourself. This is necessary that you may become an Advent people. Because if we are never brought to the end, to the complete end of our own righteousness and our own strength, there is no room for that child of Bethlehem. The love, the power, the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the greatest thorn in the side of those that are increased with goods and that have need of nothing. It is a thorn then in our side. But what a comfort. What a comfort for those who stumble at noonday as in the night. What a comfort for those who grope like the blind for the wall and cannot see. How can I be delivered from such a great misery that I have brought myself in? What did the Father say? The Father said, I found a ransom. What did the Son say? The Son said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I come to pay the price for that sin of my people. Congregation, may it indeed become Christmas for such a people by the revealing of that blessed mediator sent by the Father, revealed by that Holy Spirit. Then that triune God is going to receive the glory. Congregation, what now shall it be? If we reject a salvation that has been brought by the arm of God, so great, so mighty a salvation to lift a people out of the depth of hell and to bring them to the greatest good, into that blessed communion with their Maker and their Creator. Oh, what is it? What does it mean to reject such a great salvation? Will it be any wonder when we appear before that God who has wrought such a salvation with his mighty arm? We appear before him, and that all our lifetime, this salvation was shown, preached unto us, and that we have all our lifetime said, we have no need for thy Son. Is it any wonder that he will say to us, depart from me, ye cursed? Or is it any wonder that we shall be cast into a lake of fire forever and forever? Is it any wonder if we shall there gnash our teeth to all eternity? Will not God be just to reject us who have rejected his only begotten Son? Then we will not have one answer to 1,000 questions. Today, today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word, bring it where we cannot bring it, and forgive all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 319 stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Give thanks and praise to God above. For everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior praise, for ever good in all his ways. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 319.
Give thanks.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.